Well, let's go in our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, into that resurrection chapter. We're going to go down to the last verse, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I always comes to my mind with this verse what Jesus said, a man that puts his hand in the plow and looks back, not fit for the kingdom of God. We're to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we ask you tonight to guide us as we look into your word. Help us to see the things that we need to see. Help us to be better servants for you as we face these days that we live, these wicked days. And we face these days that seem to appear to be the last days before our Lord returns. Help us to be faithful servants and serve you more and more each and every day. We thank you and love you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible begins out this verse by saying, therefore. So whenever you see a therefore, you look and see what it's there for. And this chapter has talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then it finishes out with how he will come again. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not all of us are going to be dead when Jesus returns, he's saying here, but he says, "Not all shall sleep, but we shall all be changed. All of us are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption; this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality." I can just about stop right there and shout a hallelujah. We get rid of this old corrupt body and it becomes incorruptible. "And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says, therefore. So, in light of the fact that the Lord is coming and we're going to receive a new body someday, we're going to get rid of this old corrupt body, it'll be changed and be incorruptible, then there are some things that we should do. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren. First thing he says is, be ye steadfast. Steadfast. This word only appears three times. This particular Greek word only appears three times in the New Testament. So we get a picture of what it's talking about by looking at the other places where it's used. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 37, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well." So in this case here, he's made up his mind that he will do what he's going to do. And verse 56, but if any man think that he hath behaveth himself uncommonly toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart, that he will keep his virgin. He's not going to do what he does that would require him to marry, doeth well. So he's made up his mind that he's going to keep his virgin, that he's not going to do what he shouldn't do. He's going to do the right thing. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Settled is the same word that's translated steadfast in these other two places. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And so when we see these, the way this word is used in the Scripture, we realize here that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 15:58, it is saying, don't move away from where you stand. Take your stand and stay there. Take your stand and stay there. And that's the next word that he moves up. He mentions, and you can see in the context, how he's just emphasizing what this word steadfast means. Steadfast, unmovable. We're unmovable. It's the only time it's used, this particular word is used in the New Testament. And it means just to don't move. You're not going to be moved away. You're going to stand fast in what you believe, where you are, and stay with the Word of God. Now look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. And here the Apostle Paul talks about not moving away from the things that we believe. He says in Acts 20 and verse 24, but none of these things move me. What were the things? The bonds and the afflictions abide him in verse 23. I read the life of the Apostle Paul. It seemed like everywhere he went, he was arrested or he was persecuted. They stoned him once and left him for dead, but God raised him up. And we notice here he says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's why a lot of us don't do much for the Lord, because we count our lives too dear to ourselves. We're not willing to make the sacrifice here that the Apostle Paul did, so that I might finish my course with joy. Why, we would think if we didn't count our life dear, that there wouldn't be any joy. It's just the opposite. And the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The ministry that which I have received of the Lord, that same ministry we have received, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so we notice here that we need to be unmovable, steadfast in these things of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is what we're supposed to be unmovable from. And we are supposed to be abounding in the work of the Lord in this unmovableness. Now, wait a minute here. We said we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable. Now we're saying abounding. We're supposed to get on the go in the work of the Lord. Well, that's what it's saying. These things that are, we're to be steadfast and unmovable in what we believe, what we have to do, our work, we're supposed to be abounding in that work, not moving away from it, steadfast in it, abounding in the work of the Lord. So, how can we be abounding in the work of the Lord? Now, I put all these with D's on them just to try to make a good outline, exegetical or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what they call that. Usually I just go with it, but I just worked on these and put them all in D's, so maybe it'd be your attention and keep you from going to sleep. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. How do we do that? First of all, I put devotions. If you're going to abound in the work of the Lord, you have to realize that you have to stay in the Word of God. Joshua 1:8, we're to meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You can't abound if you're not going to keep your daily devotions. They are important. It is important to read the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God, as we'll look at in just a moment, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Psalm 119, verse 11, we know, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And then, verse 105, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. We cannot abound in the work of the Lord if we don't make much of the Word of God, if we don't take the time to read it every day and have a devotion time where we spend some time in the Word of God and we pray as we ought to pray. Time of prayer. Verse 12 says, For the Word of God is quick. That is translated, live 117 times, be alive 9 times, alive 6, and lively 3. So I would say that you can very clearly get the meaning of that word, and that is, when it says quick, that it is alive. This is a living book. In other words, it fits life today. It's up to date. It is up to date. Not like some books. This book has some of the oldest writings known to man. But it's up to date. Not like some books that were written many years ago. They're all out of date. Not the Bible. It speaks to us today. And powerful. Powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, meaning it cuts right down deep. And what does it do? How does it cut? And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You're having trouble with your thoughts. You're getting away from God in your thought life. Get in the Word of God. Really nurture yourself in the Word of God. Get into the Bible. Make it a daily part of your life. Make it a joy of your life. Not a drudge. Oh, got to read my Bible today so I can mark off that list and get my little sticker at the end of the year. No. Try to make it something in your life. Make the Bible be an alive time. A time when you're reading it and you're asking God to show you something from His Word, to give you strength, to help you. This is spiritual food. Go without breakfast, lunch, and dinner for several days, and what happens? You get weak. Go without the Word of God and letting it nurture your life spiritually, and you're going to get weak spiritually. Same thing. It is important. Look in Philippians chapter... Well, look at chapter 5 before we move over to Philippians. In verse 11, he said in Hebrews 5:11, Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the basics of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You know what the milkers are? The ones who use milk are the ones who read their Bible and they don't even know what they read. Well, I got my Bible reading done today. Well, what did you read? Well, I don't know. I read it. Well, what did you read? I don't know. I just read it. But I got it read. Well, you're just no milk user then. You need to read it with understanding. Think about what you're reading. That's what meditate day and night means. That's what meditate means. Meditate means to think about what you're reading. Don't just read it to read it. Read it to think about it, what it's saying. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Why? For he is a babe. So if you're just reading your Bible, and you're reading it, and you don't know what you read after you read it, do this when you get done. Just do that a while. And teach yourself that you're just being a baby. Read it to get some understanding. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those how? How do they become of full age? How can they get the strong meat from the Bible? Even those by who by reason of use They're in it. They're using it. They're not just reading it and not getting anything out of it. They're using it. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know why some Christians think so stupidly? Because they don't exercise their senses in the Word of God. No, they read it. Did you get your Bible reading done? Yes. What did you read? I don't know. I read it. I can't remember. Read it to get it to work on your life. Let it work on your life. Jesus talked about the importance of prayer. Have a prayer time. These devotions are important. If you're going to abound in the work of the Lord, you need to be in the Word of God. That's how you abound in the work of the Lord, in prayer. Jesus said, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. When you look at His life and study His life in the Scripture, He was a man of prayer. Prayer life of Jesus. And on the cross, He began His words on the cross with a prayer. The middle words were a prayer and the ending words were a prayer. The cross experience for Jesus was a prayer time in the greatest crisis of His life. Set a time to do your devotions and stick to it. Be steadfast, unmovable. That's the way you can abound in the work of the Lord. And your devotional time, stick to it. You cannot abound without the Word of God and prayer. Look in Jude 20 and 21. In the book of Jude, verses 20 and 21. Here's what he says here. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. That's getting into the Word of God. You're building up. You're learning more of the Word of God. And praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's important to remember. Staying in the Word of God. Devotions. That's how you abound in the work of the Lord. The second D, not only devotions, but the second D that I put on this is destiny. Destiny. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction. Every time I read that, I think, boy, the Apostle Paul sure had a different view than I do. Most of the times I'm talking about how heavy these afflictions are. How many things we have to endure. But the Apostle Paul said, for our light affliction. Boy, when you read what he went through, I would think it wasn't light, but he called it light. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's another thing. I think, when is this going to end? Paul said it was just for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Those trials and those afflictions that we're going through are working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Our destiny that we have. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What he's saying is focus on Christ and eternity. So often we get focused upon the things of this world and we forget that we've got a greater life to look forward to. There is greater blessings. There's an eternity out there where we will no longer have these trials and these tribulations. And there's no longer going to be the suffering and the pain and the agony that we put up with. And there's no longer going to be a report from the doctor that we don't like. And there's no longer going to be a problem that comes up that just kind of knocks the slats out from underneath us and just slaps us down. We think, oh, why did this have to happen? None of that stuff's going to come anymore. It's going to be over. Our destiny, if we keep our focus upon Christ and eternity, we will abound, be abounding in the work of the Lord. We cannot abound without the right focus. If the Apostle Paul had not kept his focus upon Jesus Christ and determined to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, if he hadn't kept his focus upon Christ, he'd have washed out with all that he went through. He would have gave up. But what kept him going is his focus upon his Savior that he met there on the road to Damascus, and he determined to give his life to serve the Lord. And he kept his focus upon Jesus Christ. He realized the destiny that he had in Jesus Christ, and that someday these trials and tribulations would be over. And if we keep that right focus, we can abound in the work of the Lord. But if we get focusing on all the problems, we're going to start slowing down, not doing what we ought to be doing, and feeling sorry for ourselves and not accomplish what God wants us to do. The third D that I have is duty. Duty. If we're going to abound in the work of the Lord, we've got to realize what we're here for. So many Christians just don't realize what we're here for. The Lord clearly gave us the commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, and told us to go with the gospel to the whole world. And so often we forget what we're here for. Look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So often we forget what we're here for and we get choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And we don't do what we're supposed to do. If we would go around the room tonight and ask, when was the last time you passed out a gospel tract? We might have some red faces here. I hope we wouldn't, but we might have some red faces. We should be distributing gospel tracts. We should be talking to people about the Lord. That's what we're here for. We have a duty to be a witness for Christ. Look in Luke chapter 21 and verse 24. Luke 21, verse 24. And I don't think that's the verse that I wanted. So I'll just skip it. That's on prophecy. I'll check back and see if I had the right one here. Nope, I don't know what I meant by that one, but Matthew 6:24, we'll go there. Matthew 6:24, we know. And it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't straddle the fence. We have a job to do. We are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And we are to be, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The Lord loved the church and gave Himself for us, and we have a duty to support the work of the local church, to be faithful to church, and to be witnesses for Christ. We can't abound if we're not doing our job. If you go into work and you decide that you're not going to do the job the way it's prescribed for you to do, but you're going to just do it your own way, and you're going to back off and not do that, that's just too much, they want me to do, I'm not going to do it, you won't keep your job. You'll be fired. What do you think the Lord's going to say when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you didn't do your job? If we're going to abound in the work of the Lord, we've got to do our job. We've got to understand what we are here for. We need to be witnesses. We can pray all we want for 25 souls to be saved and baptized at least this year as a goal. And that's good to pray, and we need to pray. But we've got to realize that we have a job. That means to talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, and invite them to come. Give out gospel tracts. Be a witness for Christ. Put feet to your prayer. That's what we're here for, to be witnesses for Christ. And all of us are involved in that. We can all do it our own way, that God has given us the talents and abilities. Some aren't as bold as others are. But you know what Paul, the Apostle Paul, said about that in the Christian armor? Let's just go over and look at it. Ephesians chapter 6. This is what he said. I would think that the Apostle Paul was pretty bold, that he was really a bold witness for Christ. But look what he says here in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. He's talking about prayer in verse 18, and he requests prayer for himself. He says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Why, Paul? "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That ought to be our prayer. Say, "Well, I'm a little backward." Well, then pray like Paul for boldness to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's our duty. And if we're going to abound the work of the Lord, we've got to learn that. We've got to do our duty. You can't be abounding if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Well, let's move on to the fourth D, and that's the devil. So many Christians forget that the devil, as it says there in 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go over and look at it because it's important. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, "Be sober." That means just to shake yourself up. Get your mind in gear. Get your mind on this. Realize this. Don't be dilly-dallying around in your mind about this. Be sober. Be vigilant. Vigilant means to be watching. You're watching. Because your adversary, the devil, your enemy, he's an enemy, the devil, "as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist," here it is, "steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Be steadfast. Realize the devil is out to get you off target. He will work on your mind. He will try to get you away from your devotions. He'll try to get you to think about other things than focusing upon Jesus Christ, the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. He'll get you out of doing your duty, your job. That's what he wants to do. He's happy with the Christian who never witnesses. He's happy with the Christian who never gives out a gospel tract. He's happy with the Christian who doesn't live a life that's a testimony for Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. The devil is out to get us. And you cannot be abounding in the work of the Lord if you are not counting the devil. If you discount him, you're going to be in trouble because he will get in. He is a master deceiver. And you must always be on the alert that the enemy is out to get me. When you start to get upset, you start to get mad, you start to get bothered about something, you tell yourself, "That devil is trying to get in. He's trying to get in. He's trying to deceive me. He's trying to get me off course. I'm going to follow God's word. I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable. I'm going to stay in the Word of God." And you will be abounding then for Him. The fifth D, deliberations. Deliberations. I like Philippians chapter 4. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing." I love this verse because I used to be a chronic worrier. And I worked on it to trust the Lord and to stop worrying. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here's what you do. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. A lot of Christians get in trouble because they let their minds think on things they shouldn't think about. Well, Pastor, you just don't realize that. It really bothers me. I just don't know how it's going to work out. Haven't you prayed about it? Haven't you asked the Lord to give you wisdom? James chapter 1, verse 5. Haven't you prayed about it and asked the Lord to show you what you need to see? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're not supposed to worry about it. We're supposed to trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The devil tries to get us to think wrong. And you can mark it down. If you've been any time saved, the devil will throw evil thoughts in your mind. And we just throw them out. Some Christians get so bent out of shape because of the evil thoughts coming to their mind. How can I think that? How can I be a Christian? That'll get into your mind because there's a devil to throw evil thoughts into our mind. We just cast them out. I will not yield to them. I will be obedient to the Word of God, and I won't allow those thoughts to be harbored in my mind. And I know the source, and I'm not going to yield to it. 1 Timothy 1:19. 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Don't let your conscience become shipwreck. Trust in the Lord. Verse 9 of chapter 3. Holding the mystery of the faith and a pure conscience. Throw those thoughts out. Your deliberations, keep them on the things of the Lord. As He said there in Philippians chapter 4, think on the right things. Your deliberations, you can't abound if you mind earthly things. That's what He warned us against in Colossians chapter 3, in verses 1 through 3. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Think on the right things. Cast out those thoughts. Get the worries out of there, and you will abound in the work of the Lord. But you can't abound if you're going to mind earthly things. Number 6 out of the 20 that we have. No, only have 7. Only have 7 D's. Number 6 is distribute. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Learn to be a giver. One of the best blessings you can learn in your life as a believer is to be a giver. The Lord gave His all for us. I'm not talking about just giving to the church. I'm talking about giving to others, to needs that you know that others have, and to be a giver. Just be concerned about others instead of only concerned about yourself. Learn to be a distribute, abound in the work of the Lord, caring for the needs of one another. A lot could be said about that, but I'll move to number 7, which is distribution. Distribution. Number 7. Where do you get that? Well, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 58. He says, "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There is going to be a distribution. There's going to be a distribution. Romans 14:12 says, "Every man shall give an account of himself." Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." According as his work shall be. There's coming a day when the Lord is going to reward us for that faithful service that we have done for Him. And you know, when we do these things that I mentioned tonight, when we keep our devotions, we keep our focus upon the Lord, we realize what our duty is because we have been given a commandment of the Lord to serve Him. We realize that the devil is out to trick us up and we're watching for him and we're not allowing him to get us off course. We're resisting the devil steadfast in the faith. We are trying to keep our thoughts on the right things, and we're trying to be the giver that God wants us to be in our tithe and offering and giving and helping the needs of others. And we're doing those things. You know what that boils down to? If you study the Bible, it boils down to the fear of the Lord. And I want you to just look at Proverbs 31, verse 30. We have in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, it's preached on many times on Mother's Day, and all these things about the faithful mother are brought out. But the Bible tells us here in Proverbs 31, verse 30, it says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain." In other words, a woman may have all of the characteristics to be really successful and favor and beauty. Favor deceitful, beauty vain. It's saying you don't really see the real woman. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, when we put God first, when we focus upon Him, when we be determined to be steadfast, unmovable in the work of the Lord, then abounding in the work of the Lord, then God says that's where you're going to get the praise. That's where you're going to get the praise. If you look in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, and we'll hurriedly get through these, and I want to read you some scriptures before we close. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. Notice what God says He's looking for here. He says in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, He tells us in verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest?" The heaven's my throne, the earth my footstool. How are you going to build me a house? "For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." He's afraid not to do what God said to do. He's going to abound in the work of the Lord, steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. Psalm 119 and verse 120. Psalm 119, verse 120. Here's what it says in verse 120. "My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgment." You know, I love the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. I love the Lord. I look forward to seeing Him face to face. But you know what? I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the Lord. I fear the Lord because I know of His power and His might. And I know that He sees right through me. He sees who the real Floyd Radebaugh is. There's a fear there that I want to do what pleases Him because I know I can't pull the wool over His eyes. Cannot do it. There are many verses that talk about the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, 12, 13, 17, 18, 24 to 25. Those verses the Lord said for the children of Israel, He would bless them if they would fear Him. Deuteronomy 14, 23, 17, 19, 31, 12. He made it very clear that God would bless them if they would fear Him. Psalm 34, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Psalm 115, 13, He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Psalm 112, 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Psalm 128, 1, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Psalm 128, verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And on, there are so many verses. Proverbs 15, 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs 19, 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22, 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23, 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. There are many other verses I left out here, but the point is that if we're going to abound in the work of the Lord, we need to take the Word of God seriously. Be steadfast, unmovable in what the Bible says. In the light of the fact that Jesus is coming, and this old corrupt body is going to put on incorruption. So like the Apostle Paul said, we fight the good fight. We fight the good fight. We keep the faith. We continue. We don't give up. We don't quit. Steadfast, unmovable. And there are great blessings when we learn that and when we do it. Some of us go around complaining about all the problems we had, and we just learn to fear the Lord and do what God said and do our duty, realize our destiny, realize that the devil is out to stop us, stay in our devotional life and think on the right things and do what we ought to do as a Christian, things would turn around in our life. We quit the complaining and start serving like we should. We would see God do great things. We would see the blessings of God in our life. That's the person that will be praised, is the one that fears the Lord, that is going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we're not perfect. We've still got that corrupt body and we're going to fail, but we don't stay down. We get up. And we go on. We get up and we go on. We confess it, forsake it, and go on for the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're like the fighter. And when he gets knocked down, he gets back up. He gets knocked down again, he gets back up. He gets knocked down, he gets back up. He keeps in the fight. He won't quit. He stays in the fight. And that's what we need to do. Father, we do thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is coming that time of distribution, that time when we will be given the rewards. The crowns will be given out. Help us to be faithful servants for You. Not be wimpy, Christians and soldiers for you, cowards in the battle, but help us to stand up and serve like we should, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Help us not to be milky Christians when it comes to the Word of God, but help us to get into the Word and read it and study it like we should. Make our devotional time the best part of every day. We just love you and we serve you, and we want to be what you have us to be, and help us in our failures to come and claim the promises that you've given us and confess it and go on for you to be what you want us to be. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing an invitation song. Maybe you're here tonight.